their physical bodies. Amen. Now, we've strayed away from that. Amen. And I'm not trying to put the law on you, but a lot of that stuff, even though we're not required to do it, amen, because Jesus is our mediator and our savior, but a lot of that stuff had health benefits that if we would abide by some of it, we would have a better quality of life and the quantity of our lives, the number of days we live, would be longer as well. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. And so you know how this brother coming. Amen. Stretch forward your hands and let's pray a corporate blessing on one of the sons of Philadelphia. Father, we thank you so much, God, for Brian Noel. His ministry, his entrepreneurial, Lord God, vision, his business, God, his care for the health of God's people. Father, you've created him. You've crafted him in the palms of your hands. And the way he is because you made him that way. And Father, we don't want nobody else up here but you through Brian Noel, Lord God. We want an original. We want him to be authentically him, Father God, because that's the only way, God, that we're going to be blessed. So, Father, let him be him up here. And let you be you up here through him, Father God. I pray that he was born for this moment. Fill him with your spirit, God. Anoint him. Give him boldness and let him change lives up in him and save souls. Bind the devil from this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Love you, B.
Hallelujah. I know y'all laughing about my paperwork, huh? All right. How's it going tonight? Good. Well, I just want to start off, I'm pretty excited knowing that who we are as a people. You know, I know it's fresh and everything like that, and I'm super excited. It changed my mentality about everything in my life. Not only that, Minister Duck came with a word Sunday that took me to another level as well. So, we got to get out the wilderness, man. You know, everybody, including myself. But we're forgetting one thing. We're forgetting the food. We're not eating like the people. You know, at all. As I was studying for this message, the Lord touched me. Something that I didn't want to believe, but he touched me. He shook me up. He said, you eat healthy and all, but you don't really trust me. You don't really trust me. And so as he shook me up, I'm going to have to shake us up. So we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for today, Father God, for another day on your earth, Heavenly Father. Father God, we don't deserve it, Lord God, but you bestow your blessings all the time, every day, Lord God. And I thank you, Father God. Father God, I pray, Lord God, that you just take over it tonight, Father God, that you be you tonight, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you slow the time down, Heavenly Father. I pray, Father God, that your people, Lord God, have soft hearts to this word, Father God. I pray after tonight, Lord God, to be a changed people, Lord God. Not by me, Lord God. I'm just a man, Lord. I'm nothing. But by your power, your grace, change people. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all. We're coming out of Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. And you know the God studying Daniel, so I guess it's right on time. We're going to read. But Daniel, purpose in his heart, that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, The title of this message is Don't Eat from the King's Table. Don't eat from the King's Table. Now, I read this book. It's called Start With Why by Simon Sinek. And it's about how great leaders inspire everyone to take action. And it's kind of like a business entrepreneur type book. But it blessed me because I read it with spiritual eyes. And it blessed me. And Simon was saying, you know, people don't buy what you do. They buy why you do it. And it's an awesome book. If y'all want to check it out, I put it on the screen. So I've been on this wild trip ever since. You know, why we do certain things in our life. So I started asking the tough question, why? You know, why I really want a business? You know, why do I come to church? Why do I serve the Lord? You know, why prayer is so important to my spiritual growth? And it just started snowballing from there, you know, for the good in my life. So now all I do is ask why for everything that I do. Why this? Why that? All right? So, since we're talking about food tonight, and health as well, I want to ask you guys a few whys, just to set the tone for tonight's message. You know, why don't we take what we put in our mouth serious? You know, why is food such a stronghold in our lives? Why we eat food that we know is unhealthy for our bodies? And since we just coming off a fast to the Lord, why we make the healthy progress during the fast and then forget about it and then eat whatever we want and let the progress diminish? Why? Now, these whys are not to condemn you tonight. Like I said, I just want to set your heart for tonight's message. Because you see, it's not the information that's hurting us at all. It's not. Information is all over. The issue is that our hearts are not in the right place when it comes to this nutrition and food. So the Lord wants your heart tonight. That's all he's worried about tonight, your heart. Don't even worry about the information. All right, so before we look at verse 8, in Daniel, we want to see what's going on from verse 1 up to verse 7. Because the Bible starts off with, but Daniel. So we got to find where is Daniel from that point, from verse 1 to verse 7. And what's going on was for decades, the prophets had warned the rulers of Judah about the immorality and idolatry. And that if they wouldn't cut it out, it would lead to the nation's destruction. And that's exactly what happened. King Babylon came through and he took the city captive. Not only did he take the city captive, but he took some young men from Judah. They was young, about 13 or 17 years old. And these young men was wise, smart. The Bible said it was full of wisdom. They had understanding, had ability. These guys were smart, man. Now, the NLT said these guys was strong, healthy, good-looking individuals. And Daniel and his three friends was among these young men that was taken to Babylon in captivity. And they was taken to Babylon to serve in the palace. That's what they was taken for, to serve in the palace. And while serving in the palace, they had to go through this training for about 3 years. And the training was to brainwash these young men to become Babylonians, to become like them. And what they had to do in this training for 3 years was learn all the ways, all the philosophy, all the ideas, everything, brainwashing them. And the thing is, everything was, I ain't gonna say paid, but they had all the accommodations because they was in the palace. So everything was given to them, including the food. Not only that, the king and his government changed their name, Daniel and his three friends, as we know. They had godly names. They changed them to pagan names to further brainwash them. I'm sorry. The purpose of the food, the names, the education was to make these Hebrew boys forget about who they were. it was making them forget about their God. Now, Satan does the same thing to us today. Try to brainwash us and become like the world. He used a lot of different things. He used more things than King Nebuchadnezzar. One thing that comes to mind is music. He brainwashes with music. You know, shout out to PMG for putting out some good music. We need that, man. Another thing Satan do is styles, dress. He get us with that as well. But also, he do the same thing like King Nebuchadnezzar did, education. He brainwash our kids in the public schools, man. See, that's why it's so important, if you can, just put your kids where they can learn some things, some godly things, man, so they won't be brainwashed. If you can, PCA is available. But, I mean, just find somewhere else, you know, just make sure is they're not brainwashing them, man. All right? Now, of course, Satan brainwashing them is food as well. That's a given. And we're gonna get in the message about that. But that brings us back to verse 8, right? The Bible says, but Daniel. Now we know what's going on. Daniel is in captivity, but he's in the palace. He's in the palace. Not only is he in the palace, but he's sleeping good. He's in the palace. He's being fed everything. So we know where he's at. Now the thing about it, Daniel's not the only Hebrew boy that's in the palace in captivity. We know that he got his boys with him as well. But they had other Hebrew boys with him too. The thing about it is, Daniel was the only one to stand up for the Lord in Babylon. The only one. And that kind of struck me. And I could see them lined up, getting ready to get their orders from the king, telling them what they would have to do, you know, what they have to learn, what they had to eat. And I could see Daniel, because the Bible says he already purposed it in his mind. So he knew. So the thing about it is, what struck me, Daniel, he stood up for God. But he stood up for food. For food. Then you say, I don't want to eat that. For food. And we're going to get into it, but that struck me. He stood up for food. Now we're just going to have one point tonight. The point is, would not defile himself. And we're going to have a sub point. We don't know who we are. Now, in verse 8, we got to look at the word delicacies. Because we got to see what Daniel wouldn't defile himself with. And he wouldn't defile himself with delicacies. Now, what that is, the word delicacy is just the portion of a king's food. It's rich food, gourmet food. And it's probably food that we eat today. Because back then, only the kings ate good. Today, everybody eat good pretty much. We blessed. So, it's just gourmet food. That's all it is. So, that brings us to the text. Daniel said, we're going to start with he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Now, defile. Defile means to pollute, to stain, to desecrate. Now, this word desecrate means destroy. It means to damage. You see, when we see defile, we just think like pollute, or we think about, you know, spiritual. We don't think about damage or destroy. Because that's in that word. It's deep in that word now. All right? So Daniel probably had 3 problems with the menu. I could see him as he looked on over the spread, because they probably had a big spread. He probably had 3 problems. Number one, he knew that the Babylonians would offer their food to idols. So Daniel wasn't having that. Not only that, the Babylonians, they would mix blood in their wine. So that's another reason why he said no to the wine as well. The second reason why he probably didn't want the food is because it wasn't prepared right. You see, it had to be, under the Mosaic regulations, the blood had to be drained from the meat. Daniel wasn't having that. The last reason is, Daniel probably knew that the food that was on the table wasn't approved by God. He said, I'm done. You can have that. And he was the only one that did that. Now, his 3 friends was with him. Now, they stood up after that, because we know they stood up. They wouldn't bow down to the idol and they threw them later down in the chapter. So they stood up for something. But then they had to make the initial move. Oh, I'm not eating that, dog. I'm not eating that. Now, the thing about it is, we can pick anyone, any three. Any three. Whether it be idols, whether it be it wasn't approved by God, you know, whether it be it wasn't prepared right. But one thing we know, out of all three, he was going to obey God. He was going to obey God. That was his main reason for not eating the food. Obeying God. Obeying God. See, the thing about it is, Daniel, he wasn't worried about no weight loss. I'm not going to eat because of weight loss. So I'm not going to eat because of, you know, because I want to look good. Daniel wasn't worried about no outcome goal or nothing like that. You see, look, if we catch this message tonight, understand this. Obey God. Look. If we obey God with our food, we don't have to worry about no diet plans, man. We don't have to worry about no diet plans. Obey God. Obey God. Obey God. So, Daniel said, look, man, I'm not going to make myself unclean before a holy God. Now, how Daniel knew that? How Daniel knew that? Well, Daniel knew his scriptures. Leviticus 11. He knew. He knew, man, I'm not going to do that because the Bible tells me, look, what meat to eat and how to eat it. See, he knew that. So he said he's not going to do it. Now, I don't have Leviticus 11 up, the whole chapter, but on your own time, read it. It's the clean and unclean meats. Check it out. Daniel knew about it. All right? The thing about it is, we disobeying God as a people. We disobeying God as a people. We're not obeying God like Daniel obeyed God. We're not obeying God. The law still applies. The law still applies. Woo-woo. All right? All right? Before we get so shaky about the word law, because when we talk about law, we think about, oh, well, do's and don'ts and being legalistic and this and that and the third. You see, that's why we're sick, man. That's why we're not, that's why we feel we're unhealthy. We don't have the energy that we have. We're going back and forth from diet to diet. Look, scratch those diets, man. Look, as a Christian, we got to catch this right here. Now, if you're not a believer in here, at the end of the service, we're going to get saved and you're going to understand. You're going to understand. Just hold up. Just hold up. All right? Let's look at the word law. The Hebrew word law is Torah. You know, the first five books of the Bible. It means instructions. It means directions. So let's not get all fidgety, man, about law. It's just directions. Look, we take directions every day. We take directions every day. Excuse me. Every day. Every day. At work. We do it every day. We don't have no problem taking directions from a man. And look, check it out. You can come to me and I can give you a diet plan and they're going to have all different type of meats to eat and you're going to accept that. But when God tell you, don't eat that meat, we ain't going to accept it. Back to the question, Dele, why? 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 All right. So another thing. Look, some believe that the dietary law and the unclean animals in the old is just Old Testament. It's just Old Testament. And somehow that the New Testament in Christ's crucifixion, you know, makes it void or not effective. But the problem with that is God's law was established way before he made the covenant with Israel. About 1,000 years to be exact. So the New Testament in Christ's crucifixion really don't affect God's law because it was already established. It was already established. Now feel me now. Feel me. He told Noah in Genesis 7:2, we're going to read it quickly because we got to move. He told Noah, look, man, put clean animals, unclean animals in the ark. That was before Abraham, way before. So when they say, well, the Jews, you're a Jew because you don't eat pork or you didn't eat nothing. Well, that was way before Jews. See what I'm saying? He made this law for all mankind. All mankind. No exception. Now, just catch this right quick. You see, man, he told Noah to put 7 clean animals into the boat. And then he told him to put 2. The question again, why? Why he tell him to put 7? Now, we don't know why, but we could just use our little common sense, right? Well, maybe because the clean animals he knew we was going to eat, and they had to be reproductive and such, and they had to be a lot. Maybe. I don't know. But it's just, all right. The thing about it is the administration, right? The administration in the Old Testament was the Leviticus priesthood. Administration in the New Testament is Jesus Christ. We know that. 2 administrations. Now, that doesn't make the law void. That don't make the law void. It's just 2 administrations. God just deals with us different. He just deals with us different. Look, it's just like First Lady, right? She's an administrator. All right, when we grow. All right, she's going to put somebody else in place. You know? The rules still going to apply at the school. But that person, I'm going to show she's going to give them a little leeway to kind of apply the rules. So, look, just feel me. Just feel me tonight. Just feel me. Just feel me. We're going to get somewhere, man. We're going to get somewhere. Now, look, the thing about it is, let's look at Matthew 5, 17, 19 quickly. Look what Jesus said. Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. You see, Jesus did come to destroy the law. Now, look, man, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. And what I mean by don't be embarrassed by society, man, because you don't eat a certain thing. Don't be embarrassed. We call to be different. We call to be different. Look at 1 Peter 2, 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. I got the New King James Version right here, so I'm going to read it from here. Well, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We're different people. So it's all right to eat different. It's all right. It's all right. All right. Sambu, you can put the list up for me. I got a list of clean and unclean animals right quick. Just let's look at it. Now, look, just don't get uncomfortable with the clean and unclean. It's kind of hard to see. But I'm going to just go over it right here. Now, it's not an extensive list. Now, the thing about it is, before we even get into that, let's look at the character of God. Let's look at Leviticus 11:44. Leviticus 11:44. Now, that's right after he gave the law for the clean and unclean animals. Right after. Let's look at the character. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourself, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defy yourself with any man or creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. 45, we're just going to go down, we're going straight down. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. That's right after he told him, look, don't eat this, don't eat that, don't eat that. Then he said, be holy. Word for holy means to be set apart, means to be different. Just like I said the last time I was up here, the English word for holy comes from our old English word. And that means to be whole, to be healthy. So the Lord is saying, look, be different, man. Not only be different, but be whole, be healthy. That's what he's saying. That's what the word means. Now, I don't know if I'm looking at it wrong, but that's just what the word means. That's what the word means. All right? Let's keep moving. Now, the clean and unclean animals is kind of small, but don't worry about it. On your own time, just check it out. You know, you might have to get your Bible to where they can kind of break it down. Now, you got some commentators, they kind of disagree about it or argue or say, well, you know, there's not no way that you can, you know, distinguish what they had way back then or whatnot. Well, hey, man, I mean, whenever it's broken down, everything is pretty much close. It's pretty much consistent, you know. But this is what I want y'all to focus on. Just cut all the noise out. We're going to focus a little bit on the foods that we eat. The foods that we eat, and just let's see what God's talking about. Now, God is telling us, don't eat scavengers, not as the clean animals. Can you go to the unclean animals? Now, from there, if we look at it and just use our mind, he said, don't eat scavengers, man. So what's the scavengers? Pigs, bears, vultures, raptors. These things eat dead things. They eat the flesh, man. They scavengers, man. And the law is saying, look, don't eat predatory animals like wolves, lions, lepers. Don't eat that. Then God also said, man, don't eat the bottom dwellers, man. Don't eat shellfish, man. You know what I'm saying? Don't eat those things. Why? Look, you lobsters and you crabs and you shrimps. They eat dead animals from the bottom of the ocean. That's what they do. Look, hey, look, you crawfish, right? Look, they do the same thing, but at the bottoms of the lakes and the ponds, they do the same thing. Catfish is the same thing. They eat at the bottom. Catfish is the same thing. Same thing. Yeah. So, like, you see the Lord's wisdom, man. His wisdom. You see, those animals already have a job, man. They already have a job. Their job is to clean up at the bottom. And we're eating that. Just like Pastor always say, just reason with me. Just reason with me. Now, all the animals really don't have to be unclean, so you got to watch it, right? Like rabbits. You know, I know Monroe, I don't know what, but, you know, rabbits. He said, don't eat rabbits. And I like rabbits. You see, when the Lord shook me up with this revelation, I'm done. Because I believe it. Amen. I believe it. I'm done. It don't have nothing to do about no legalistic. It don't have nothing to do about no do's and don'ts. If we just use our common sense and line up the statistics about our health as a people, God attributes, right? One of his attributes, or two, is wisdom. Wisdom. Another one is eternal. Is eternal. He, from beginning to end, he knew how we was going to be. He knew. We just need to open up our mind. You see, the rabbit, we think the rabbit is innocent, right? So I did a little research. We know some rabbit fever, right? It carry a little rabbit fever. Now, it might not affect everybody, but a lot of the things that God said don't touch, they carry some, like the pigs, the swine, all right? He said, no, why we want to eat that? Hey, look, we don't have to eat that. I know it's small up here, but look, this is the question. Another why. Why do we have to eat the unclean animals? We have enough clean animals. We have enough. Why we want to be greedy? See what I'm saying? And you see, we do. Nothing changed, man. It's the same way from in the garden. You see, they had both the trees, man. Look, they had all the trees, though. She want to eat from. You can eat from all the trees, man. They told you don't eat from that tree. Hey, the same thing is going on, y'all. The same thing. Hey, look, you won't get all the protein you want from the clean animals, man. A matter of fact, we're going to get into it. You don't need that much protein anyway. All right, look. This guy, we're going to move. Dr. Rex Russell, he's the author of a book called What the Bible Says About Healthy Living. Look what he said about our pig. He said, look, another reason for God not allowing pork is because the digestive system of a pig is like ours, meaning that it's acidic. It got a lot of acid. Pigs are gluttonous. They don't know when to stop eating. So what happens is the acid in the stomach, it get diluted, right? It get diluted, and that creates pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, and it seeps into the skin, and then it can get to us. Now, just because we eat it and we cool, you don't know when you're going to eat that one pig, man. All right? Look, check it out. Let's see what Jesus think about the pigs. Look, Mark 5, verse 8 and 3. Mark 5, verse 8 and 3. Quickly, they just had this man. He had an unclean spirit. He came to Jesus, wilding out. He had a legion in him. Look what Jesus told him. We're just going to go down. We're going to read it quickly. We're going to go to 11. He said, now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. I'm reading the New King James, y'all. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine. The demons say, look, they got some pigs right there. Look, Jesus, send us to the pigs, man. Send us to the pigs. Why? You see how I use why for everything? Why Jesus want to send them demons to pigs, man? Just why? Now, we don't know. But we know that the Hebrews couldn't eat that type of meat. So after he said, look, yeah, Jesus gave them okay, check it out. And at once, Jesus gave them permission. And then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, about 2,000. And after that, look, I'm going to just read it. They ran off the hill and they died. That's what the demons did. The demons ran them off the cliff. Why, man? That's what Jesus felt about the swine. All right? Man, I don't know where I'm at. All right? Now, look. All right, look. Check it out. Look. Last thing, and we're going to move on. Shellfish. All right, check this out now. That's just what God said. Don't eat that, man. Them things have a job, man. Now, look, shellfish. Now, we think, well, a lot of people, I pray that everybody catch on. But some people might be sitting here and probably saying, well, look, that's my culture. That's where I come from. Man, I'm going to eat my crawfish. And that's cool. Look, you free. Yes, you do have the liberty in Christ. Let me make that clear. You have the liberty now. You have the liberty. But that don't void the law. We got to understand that. All right? We got to understand that. Now, we say that's our culture. But we just got a revelation. We're not from here. we're not from here, man. All right. So, hey, look. Hey, look. Hey, look. Hey, look. We come all the way across the Atlantic, man. And look, since I'm on it right quick. Nah, I'm going to just stay right there. Look. Look. Right quick. Look. So, just look. The crawfish, right? Just look. Look what Dr. Russell said. Dr. Russell said, you can take a crawfish and put it in some contaminated water. Cholera bacteria. Cholera bacteria is a toxic contaminated water that give you severe diarrhea. He said what happened is that crawfish will make that water pure, it will purify the water. So it's almost like the crawfish is a magnet for bacteria. So, but that's what we like, man. That's what we like. All right. Now look. Now here's the thing. I'm gonna just share it right quick. This how our people really we don't supposed to be eating like that, man. Look how we are simple people. We ate simple. The foods that we see now, the regular food, man, your eggs, your grains, your meat, your cheese. We ate all that, man. The only difference was it wasn't industrial food like it is now. That's the only difference, you know? And then you ain't going to find pizza and potato chips and all that junk. But the thing about it is they ate all grains, beans, all that, man. But the thing about it, they ate meat on special occasions. Special occasions. And we're going to see in a minute how meat is breaking us. It's breaking us. So Daniel, back to Daniel, we're still on point now. We're still on point. He obeyed God. He said, I'm not going to eat the meat. Now, he ate the vegetables. You know, further along in chapter 1, he ate the vegetables, but he didn't eat the meat. You see, they only ate, look, our people, look how they ate. They ate the meat on special occasions. And not only that, they ate only two times a day. Two times a day. You see, they ate one time in the morning and in the early evening. That's it. That's how our people ate. They ain't ate no special way, man. They were simple. It was simple. All right. Now, look. Well, nowhere in the Bible, man, that you can find a, not that I saw. Now, we can go back home, man, and we can do our study, man. Do your study, man. I never found a a servant of God that ate unclean meat. All followers of Christ that ate unclean meat. Never saw it. Now what we're going to do is we're going to look at a few scriptures in the New Testament. And we're going to pull the meaning out of it. Because we look at some scriptures in the New Testament and we feel that we can eat the meat. So we're going to check it out. Now, the first thing we need to understand is the word unclean and clean from the New Testament and the Old Testament. It's two different words. Two different words. The word in the Old Testament, unclean, means tameh. It means impure, immorally. It means infamous, which means disgraceful, abominable. That's what it means. So the unclean that you're going to see that's describing unclean meats in Leviticus, that's the word that you're going to see. Now, the unclean that you're going to see in the New Testament, the Greek word is koinos. That means common. That means ordinary, unholy, defiled. That's what that means in the New Testament. Now, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Let's focus on verse 4. Verse 4 says, for every creature of God, I'm reading the New King James, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, right there, a lot of people think that is a green light to go ahead and eat whatever we want. But let's look at the scripture. Let's keep it in context. Now, what's going on was, I'm going to use a commentator right here. He said that the danger that Timothy faced in Ephesus seems to have come from certain people in the church who were following some Greek philosophers who taught that the body was evil and that only the soul mattered. See, these people didn't even believe in the human body, man. See, that's why we can see in verse 3, they say, look, they commanded them to fast from fools. Don't eat no fools. We don't believe in the body anyway. Look, these false teachers further went on to say, look, they refused to believe that God was even a good God. They didn't believe that God of creation was good. And we can see that in verse 1, when people was talking about giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy. They was having their own conscience. See, the whole thing about these false teachers, they came into the church trying to make people do unbiblical things, like not to marry and fast from certain foods. You see, and their whole motive was to do that to seem self-righteous and self-disciplined. That's their whole motive. And if we look at the word foods, that's the subject. It's not talking about unclean meats. It says foods. Foods. Let's look at verse 4. For every creature of God is good. Now we look at creature and we think, okay, it's good. I'm going to go eat my meat. Let's check it out. The word creature in the Greek means katisma. All right? That means katisma, means created thing. Created thing. Now, created thing, could it mean a human? Let's check it out. James chapter 1, verse 18 can help us out. James say, of his own, which is God, will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. So we know that God called us creatures. So let's plug that in back in 1 Timothy 4. For every created thing of God is good. All right, created thing. Let's move on. And nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Yes, nothing is to be refused if it's thanksgiving. But that don't mean we have to eat anything. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul not saying that. All right, let's go. Verse 5. For it is sanctified. Sanctified is the key word right here. Sanctified means to be separate, set apart. Paul is saying, look, I done set everything apart for my people, including food. And he said, how I did it? By the word of God, by the Bible, Leviticus, the instructions, not laws. Let's take the laws out, just instructions. All right, so this whole context right here is not talking about meat. Let's move on to another piece of scripture. Let's move on to Acts 10. Acts 10, 9 through 17. That's when Peter had the vision. We're going to go to 15. And a voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. So let's look at the context. Peter, he was tired. He fell asleep on the rooftop. And the Lord gave him a dream according to his vision, a hunger dream. Let's look at verse 12. In his dream, were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. The Lord told him, go ahead and kill them. Go kill the animals, Peter. Go eat it. Peter told him, no, I'm not going to do that. Let's look at verse 14. No, so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Now, the key word right here is never. Now, we got to understand Christ has been dead for about a decade now, right? Been gone. So, and Peter, you would think, walking with Christ, the Lord would have told him, look, man, it's okay to eat some unclean animal I'm talking about. It's okay. Go ahead and eat that. But apparently not. He said, no, I've never eaten that. So let's move on. Let's look at common. Now, common is koinos. I mean, we ain't got to break that down from unclean because it says common. Let's look at unclean now. This word unclean right now, right here, in the Greek, it means a katartos. If I'm saying it right. But a katartos. And that means, there you go, impure in a moral sense. This is the same meaning that's in the Old Testament Leviticus that's describing the unclean animals, tame. But it's translated from the Hebrew to Greek, so a katartos, so it means impure in a moral sense. Wicked, sinful. Same, it's just translated from Hebrew to Greek. So just let's see what's going on. So Peter said, look, man, not only did I didn't eat anything that's common, a common food that everybody ate, but I never ate anything that's unclean, any animal that's unclean, because it's two different words. All right? So let's look at verse 16. The Lord told him that three times. This was done three times to Peter, told him the vision. It's like he couldn't understand. He couldn't comprehend the Lord. Look at verse 17. He said, now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision was. Peter still couldn't understand the vision. You would think that he could have understand if he could have eaten the meat. I think. All right? Now look, Peter didn't understand the vision until Acts 10:28, when he went to Cornelius' house, the Gentile. That's when he understood the vision. If we look at the latter half of 28, it says, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So clearly, the Lord was giving Peter a illustration that, look, now, man, now the door is open to the salvation of the Gentiles. It was just an illustration. It's not saying anything about unclean meat. It's just people with a predisposition on wanting to eat what they want. We can't eat what we want, man. We can't eat what we want. Look, another scripture in Romans 14:14. The Bible says, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now this word right here is unclean. It's our word, kanoid, kanos. It means common. It means defiled, common in a ceremonial sense, disqualified from God. It's not the unclean in the Old Testament. Now let's look at the background of Romans. What's going on? What's going on in Paul's day in Romans? The Romans had it bad, man. They will sacrifice meats on pagan altars to their pagan gods. And then after that, they'll take the meat and then they'll sell it in the marketplace. And then, so you had Christians, you had believers, some had weak consciences. They knew if they'd have messed with the meat, that it'll defile their conscience. Then you had other Christians that had strong consciences. They could have eaten the meat because they knew, man, look, we're under one true living God. We free, we good. They had a strong conscience. But it wasn't like that for all of them. So that was the issue. Let's look at verse 2. It's going to explain it. For one believes he may eat all things. That's the one with the strong conscience, man. That's the one that can eat the meat and be all right. All right? And then, but he who is weak, the one with the weak conscience, he eat only vegetables. So if he couldn't eat the meat, he eat vegetables. That's fine. Look what Paul said in verse 15, the latter part. Paul said, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Hey, man, if you want to eat the If you can't eat the meat that you think that's sacrificed for idols, it's all good. Paul clarified that in verse 14. He said, look, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean. Paul told him, man, we have liberty in Christ. You see, Paul had the same issue in Corinth. The same issue. I don't have it up there, but I'm going to read it. It's 1 Corinthians 8:4. Paul said, look, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. That's what Paul told them, boys. But some of them couldn't understand that. They couldn't understand. So Paul had to deal with them accordingly. That's what Paul said in the latter half of 14. He said, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, defiled, if it's going to defile your conscience, then it's unclean. Don't eat it. It's all good. The whole context is about believers' consciousness when it comes to meat being sacrificed to pagan gods. That was the whole issue right here, the whole issue. Hey, look, that's like me, right? I like to eat organic foods. Everybody not like that. So my conscience, I got a bad conscience. I think that they have all kind of things in there. So that's why I'm going to eat organic foods. You have another person, they don't mind. They're going to eat whatever they want to eat. Their conscience is stronger than mine. So just to kind of give you, understanding what was going on. One more scripture. Mark 7. This is the easy one. Mark 7, verse 1 through 3. Is the what's going on right here is the Pharisees and their traditions. And what happened was the Pharisees, they washed their hands a certain way before they ate food. And what happened, they caught Jesus and his disciples eating food without washing their hands. So in verse 2, they confronted him. They said, "Now, when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault." Now the subject is bread. It's not unclean meat. Let's see how Jesus answered them. Let's look at verse 18. We're going to start with "do." "Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods." Now the key word right here is purifying. This purifying means to cleanse, to free from filth. In other words, Jesus was telling these Pharisees, man, look, it don't matter if we eat the bread with our so-called dirty hands. Our stomach that God made, the digestive system, is going to purify that. It's going to knock that little bit of defilement that's on that bread. Don't worry about that. But he said what y'all need to worry about is y'all wicked minds. You see, the filth that's going on in your minds, and then it settles in the heart and then come out the mouth. You see, that's what's going to defile a man. You see, so that's what he was using. He was saying purifying with the stomach. But now we got to watch that because we got some translations that's going to throw us off. In the NIV, which is a good kind of thing, translation to look at times, but it can throw us off. Look at the end of verse 19. These translators added this. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. And they added that. So we got to be careful and stick to the King James text when we're doing our studying. You know, because they're trying to think for Mark and Jesus. And we know that our King James is more accurate. So it's not saying that. There's nowhere. All right? But look what it does say in Revelation 18:2. And this is the New Testament. But look what it says in 18:2. This is what the Lord felt about unclean animals. He's still talking about unclean animals in Revelations, man. Look. "And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is falling. It's falling and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird." That's our word right there, a catarto. That means impure in a moral sense. Same word that describes the unclean animals in Leviticus. Same word. Look, man, Jesus said he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's what Jesus said. He just deal with us a little different. That's all. God deal with us a little different. So let's move on. Now, back to Daniel. We're still on Daniel. I just wanted to show y'all a few scriptures in the New Testament, you know, so we can kind of clarify that. But if some of y'all don't agree still, that's fine. You know, just try to take your bias out of it and try to see the character of God. You see, because you see, our pastor teaches, man. He teaches, man, see the character of God. Like, just take our feelings out for a little while when it comes to this food. And you see, we sensitive, we emotional when it comes to this food. And I understand, man. You see, we emotional. But look, that's why it wasn't hard for Daniel to stand up for what he ate, man. He knew who he was. He knew his word, man. He was obedient to the Lord. You know, look, are you set apart when it comes to your food? Do you eat different than anybody else that's around you? You eat different? Or when you sit down, your food look the same like everybody else? Because remember, he said, be holy, be separate, set apart. The food is not an exception. It's not an exception. It's not an exception. You see, if you're in the grocery store, your basket look like the same people? You see, I be getting some funny looks in the store, man. But they be like, man, I need a shop like you. Like they looking in your basket. You know, but that's a good thing. We call to be different. We call to be different. All right. Now, I just want to, since we're still on this meat issue, because that's what Daniel, we still keep it in context. See, Daniel, he said, look, I'm not doing it. I'm not eating the portion of the king's delicacies. And we know it's meat because he ate the vegetables. Now, this meat, let's fast forward to our modern day. Let's see what's going on with this meat. And I'm gonna go with it quick. The thing is, the average American eats more than 3 times the global average in meat. 3 times the global average. You see, the law is trying to tell us something, man. When we go back in history and find out how we ate, they ate meat only on special occasions, bro. This meat is hurting us. This meat is hurting us. Look, the majority of meat consumed is red meat, beef, pork, lamb. Now, pork is the number one meat in the world that's consumed in the world. Pork in the world. Now, and nearly a quarter is processed meat, hot dogs and bacon and all that. Now, this is the key right here, and then we're going to move on right quick because we know statistics, man. We kind of know. Look, strong scientific evidence link excess meat consumption, particularly red and processed meat, with heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, obesity, certain cancers, and early death. Now, that's kind of a little graph right here. If you eat unprocessed meat 100 grams a day, that's what you'll get, 100 grams a day. 100 grams a day, that's only 4 ounces. So that's only not even the palm of your hand. And that's what you can get. Now, the unprocessed meat right here, that's pretty much red meat right here. That's not like turkey and chicken right here. That's pretty much red meat. That's why you should eat only red meat at least once or twice a week. Once or twice a week. Now look, the unprocessed meat compared to the red meat. Look, the stroke and the breast cancer, high shoot up. Cardiovascular mortality, dead, high shoot up. You see, because we like bacon and sausages, right? You know, this is killing us as a people, y'all. This is killing us, man. Like, we don't need to eat like that, man. And look, the food industry, they know that, man. They know that. Look, I was talking to Miss Trish yesterday. She was telling me, man, look, how a pig, you can get parts of pigs, right? Just different parts in a nice little pack. Different parts of a pig for $4, $5, $4. You know what I'm saying? And we catch that, we take that, we throw that in a cowboy stew or something. You know? I'm saying we need to lay off on that, man. That's not how we get down as a people. As we start to know who we are, this is easy. Like, we should catch this. Since we know who we are, since Pastor blesses us knowing who we are, we should catch that with ease right here. And you see, these people know that. They know that to slip that in the black community in these grocery stores, because we're going to buy that. Like my wife was telling me, even though you're on food stamp, people still looking for the cheap piece of meat or whatever to buy. You see? And I understand that everybody can't afford, you know, whatever it may be, but it's beyond that. Just the fat meat, just kind of leave that alone, man. We're going to get into it. The Lord don't even want us to mess with that, man. He don't want us to mess with that. Just leave that alone, man. That's all we got to do. It's nothing about how much money I got and organic and this and that. And no. Make sacrifices. Hey, look, we make sacrifices for everything else, man. For everything else. Man, we got to watch it. Just be careful, man. Hey, look, just be careful. Because if we don't watch it and we look over our life, we can see what we're spending our money on. We can see what we're spending. We can save the money, and you can buy organic. Just save your money, man. Put your little savings on the side or something for the food, man. And your health is more important, man, than anything else you're spending that money on. Hey, look, leave the supplements alone. Look, we don't need no supplements. You don't need it. You need it to a certain extent. That's not the message for that. But you don't need that. You don't need that. Look, you can take your money that you spend, you know what I'm saying, on these supplements, and you can buy some food. Buy some food, man. Stop trying to look for the easy way out, man. Just look. Focus on God, man. Obey God. Just obey him. Obey him. All right? Now let's move on. Sub point. We're going to go down to the sub point. some point, we don't know who we really are. All right, we don't know who we really are. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20. 6:19 to 20. We're going to look at, all right, just read it right here. What Paul said, know ye not that you are the temple, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now this word temple, every time I see this word temple, I think about the Old Testament with Solomon building the temple. And I think about, man, how magnificent the temple was and how he went all out, you know, with the gold and cedar and bronze and everything. The gold, the floors was full of gold. The walls was full of gold. They say, man, Solomon used so much bronze that they couldn't even determine the weight of how much bronze that he used. They say that even the nails that he used was gold. The nails. It took Solomon like 7 years, I think, nonstop to build a temple. It was lavish, man. And the thing that caught my eye, I was like, I started thinking, I was like, well, why God didn't stop him? Why God didn't say, man, Solomon, that's just too much. You know, that's just too much. Why are you going all out like that for the temple? You know? But God didn't. Because God knew that's where he would be residing at, to be with his people. He knew that. He knew that. The thing about it is, number one, it shows me that God pays attention to detail. Pays attention to detail. Number two, he's worried about the outcome of the whole project, because he waited 7 years for the building to be complete. He waited 7 years. Now we think about it and fast forward to us, because we are spiritual temple of God. As the word is saying, we are the body. The body is the temple of God. That's where the Holy Spirit resides. This is where God resides in. You see? So God is worried about every detail, just like he did with Solomon with the temple. He's worried about that with your body. He's worried about that what you put in your mouth every single second. He's worried about that. He's not worried about the detail. He's worried about the outcome. He's worried about how your body look, man. Ain't nothing wrong with that. He's worried about how your body look. You know? So what that shows me is that God he's focusing on, he's good, man. He's good, man. Now, I just believe that a lot of people don't really believe this scripture right here. I believe that we're the temple of God, that God really resides in us, you know, because if we really believe that, we would take care of our head a little better. We take care of our head a little better. So, all right, moving along, we're going to look at verse 19. And you are not your own, the Bible says. You do not know that you're the temple of God. Do you not know that you're the temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And is in you whom you, I'm sorry, y'all, I've been studying this New King James, all right? So, look, God doesn't own your body when it comes to any other types of abuses, man, or sexual immorality and stuff like that. He owns your body, man, when it comes to food as well. You know, we are slaves to Christ, man. We got to do what he say do. And food is not an exception. You know, we are not our own. You know, we move further down in verse 20. The Bible says, glorify God in your body. Now, glorify means to praise. It means to magnify. But it also means to honor. And I went deeper with this word honor, and it says to fulfill an obligation or keep an agreement. And that agreement is what God's telling us to do in Leviticus, man. Eat this, man. That's gonna help you out in the long run. Eat this. You know? It also means to make glorious, to be excellent. God wants you to be excellent in your body, man. Be excellent. It's all right to have a healthy body. You know, it's good. It's all right. You know, and people that's jealous of people that have a nice body or that's in shape and stuff like that, you know, we need to cut that out, man. Come Because you see, because he's concerned with your body. He's concerned with your body. You know, what we need to do is ask one another, man, look, how did you do this? You know, can I get that program you're on? You know, he's concerned with our bodies, man. Be excellent. Like our pastor tells us, man, be excellent. Our bodies is no different. Bodies is no different. We need to stop with all the excuses. Stop with all the excuses. It's clear as day. Glorify God. You know, glorify God. Honor God, man. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Not only with food, but, you know, move around a little bit. Look, the Lord is not concerned with just the spirit, man. He's not concerned with just, look, he never said, man, look, as your spirit man grows, leave the physical behind. He never said that. He never said that. You know? I think a lot of us are too spiritual, man, and we forget our physical bodies behind. You know, we gotta remember that we're still on earth. We're still on earth. You see, Daniel was 100 miles away from home in a foreign country, and he still knew who he was. He still knew who he was. Look, he didn't let his environment stop him from obeying God. He didn't let his environment stop him from obeying God. He refused eating at the king's table, even with his life on the line. Because we know if Daniel was in the palace, he was still a slave, though, man. He took a chance refusing that food. Now, some of us, we're not a slave, and it's hard for us to refuse food, you know? And Daniel, he put his life on the line. I'm not eating that, you know? And we look at Daniel, man, and learn from that. You know, that can help us out. That can help us out. We're not a slave, man. We can refuse things, you know? Daniel didn't use his environment as an excuse. Now, look, we make excuses about our environment all the time. You know, whether it be our work, you know, whether it be we on the road, we too busy, or whether it be we at an event and they cooking unhealthy, you know, we have excuses all day long. You know, if they have something that's not appropriate, or you feeling this message and you feel that, look, the Lord want me, you know, to discontinue what he said discontinue, not to do, then don't eat that food, man. Don't eat it. Just tell them you don't want it. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You know, man, every time we have a little get-together, you know, with Brother Heaven for our 12, a lot of times I don't eat, man. You know, it's not to feel like I'm some type of, you know, it's none of that. You know, they know my heart, and a lot of you guys in here, y'all know, it's not like that. It's just I don't eat certain things. And if I do eat that, maybe it's one of the timing. I ate that already. You know, so you got to understand, it's not that we can't eat, you know, the food from Babylon. That's what I call this industrial food, you know, this food from Babylon. But you just got to watch it, man. Be careful. Be careful. Just every now and then. You can't live on it. We can't live on it. We cannot live on it. Our body is not made for that, man. Now, every now and then, it's cool, man. Your body is like a complex machine, man. It's even better than a machine. A machine can't touch it, you know, because you got to understand. You see a car, when it's running out of gas, it can't steal fuel from its headlight. Well, you see us, when we're running out of fuel, when we get tired, your body going to get the fuel somewhere. See? So our bodies are very complex. So every now and then, that's not going to hurt you, man. You can't live on that junk. That's not us. That's not us. You see, the United States is really our Babylon. You know, we're not from here. We're not from here. We're not supposed to eat like the rest of America. We're not supposed to. We're not supposed to at all. All right? Now, what will happen is if we keep eating like that, disease is bound to happen. That's what God said. Let's look at Exodus 15:26. 15:26. He said, man, just obey. Obey what I'm telling you. I'm going to read it from this New King James right here. He said, and if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. See that? Now this word statute right here, it means something prescribed. You see, because we all know about the commandments. When we see the commandments, we know the commandments. But we got to understand the whole Bible, man, is instructions. He say, all my statutes, all my statutes. We talk about, and nothing wrong with that, man. We all Christians, man. We're supposed to be, we should strive to be highly spiritual. We should always want to be on the next level spiritually. So it's good to pray, man, for healing and whatever it is when we're sick and this and that. But you got to give the Lord something to work with, man. Because he said, man, look, obey. If you obey, then none of these diseases are going to come upon you. You know, follow the commandments, man. Follow the commandments and the instructions. Now, as we can see, quickly, it's just a little comparison on how we are as far as the sickness and stuff like that, what we're dealing with because of our, you know, our food. Now, it's not all the food issue, but it's some of it. Look, Hebrews have the highest death rate and shortest survival of any race or ethnic group in the United States for cancers. Look, it say cancer treatment is equally successful for all races, yet black men have a 40% higher cancer death rate than white men. Why? Could it be because we under the curse? Could it be we're not, you know, being obedient and eating what he told us to eat? Could it be? It could be. They said that you can have a Hebrew person and a white person take the same treatment, same exact treatment, and the death rate is still going to be higher on the Hebrew side. The same treatment. That's weird, man. That's weird. Look, high blood pressure. Hebrews in the United States is among the highest in the world. More than 40% of non-Hispanic African-American men and women have high blood pressure. Blacks worldwide have high blood pressure that are similar to whites. But in the United States, however, the difference is dramatic. In the United States, 47 of blacks have high blood pressure compared to 27 of whites. You know, could it be because of the scripture? Could it be? Diabetes, 4.9 million Hebrew adults, African-American adults, 18.7%, or 18.7% of all African-Americans over 20 years of age have diagnosed or undiagnosed diabetes, compared to 7% of non-Hispanic white Americans. Now, the leading causes of death in the world, man, is heart disease, cancer, and stroke. And we're leading in all three. The food is a big issue, y'all. The food is a big issue. All we have to do is really just obey. He said, if you hear to my commandments and keep all my statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you. None. None. Just obey him. Obey him. Now, I know some in here, like I said earlier, you know, might not be saved or don't know the Lord. But that's way more important than this food right here. Because Jesus is the living bread. The bread of life. So if you don't know Christ, you know, tonight, just surrender, man. Just surrender. That way you can understand everything that was really going on in this message. But not understand this message, but have eternal life, you know. Have a ticket to heaven instead of a ticket to hell, you know. I'm going to tell you, like I told my partner John on the rig, you know, I told him, I said, it's three reasons, man, why you don't want to come to Christ. Number one, it can be because you're trying to do it on your own, and you can't do it on your own. There's only one way. I said, number two, you're probably worried about what people are going to think about you, man. You're worried about how they're going to see you, how they're going to view you. But when you come on this side, man, this is the real side. You know? So get saved, man. You know, first admit, man. Admit that you're a sinner, man. You know? Admit that you're a sinner. Believe in Jesus Christ, man. Believe that he died for you. That he rose again, man, on the third day. You know, confess with your heart that he's your Lord and Savior. And you're going to be delivered. And you're going to have a new life, life more abundantly. So you can really understand this message and this thing that God wants us to do with our help. You know? Thank you all.
Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. Good job, B. The Lord sent you to us, brother. Love you.
Love you, man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Saints of God, you may be seated right here. I just want to say this. The Lord sent, amen, this man to us. Just like, hallelujah, all of us got our gifts, all right? He sent this man to us, all right? And what B was saying at the end, amen, the most important message, amen, is the message of Christ and the message of salvation, amen. That's the most important message. But at the same time, I believe that the Lord has us on a program, all right? And in that program, we got the most important, but then we got other messages of lesser importance, but still important. So he gets you in here, amen, and you hear the gospel and you get saved. That's the most important thing. If you don't get anything else, amen, hallelujah, none of this other stuff matters because, listen, you can have a healthy life but go to hell. You understand what I'm saying? So, like he said, this is the number one thing. But after that, amen, I believe next in line, amen, in the day that we live in, is for his people to realize who they are, amen, in the Bible, amen. That's coming up right after that. Now, it's not more important than salvation, but it's important. And then after that, let me tell you about this now. We got to get back, saints, to following his instructions. Amen? Amen? And listen, that's why this man convicts me every time I get up here. You know? Because I know deep in my heart that in that Bible is our basic instructions before leaving her. Amen. I know it. It's the wisdom of God found in that book. It's the wisdom of God. So while I will not tell you, if you eat crawfish, you're not going to go to heaven. I'm never going to tell you that, if you eat crawfish. But what I will tell you is that when you eat certain foods that God tells us not to eat, that it has the potential to shorten your lifespan. It has the potential to destroy your quality of life. And as we look at our people are perishing once again for a lack of knowledge. They eating anything. They putting anything in their bodies, and that's why they dying. Now listen to me. Listen to me good. Listen to me, my people. Listen to me. Listen to me. This thing is so systematic with us. Us eating the worst foods, loving the worst foods, making delicacies out of the things he told us not to eat, is so pervasive that I can tell that it is intentional. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you this, all right? You can always see the devil's hand in something because there is an exaggeration from where we used to be. Ain't nobody eat pork like us. Ain't nobody eat all of that tripe and all that just the nastiest stuff like us. The most unclean eating is us. Why? Why? It's an intentional thing. Now listen to me good, all right? You know, if I see you eating a pork chop, you think I'm not going to condemn you. All right. And Brian don't do that. Brian watch, you know, Chris, they watch, you know, we're not going to condemn you. But this is what I want us to do as a church, right? Recognize that it's the gospel that saves you. Recognize that you're the people. But I really want you to recognize that your health matters to God. And it matters to your children. It matters to the people that love you. And it matters to your pastor. I don't want to bury not a single one of y'all too soon. I don't want no 45 bitch funerals, no 50 funerals, amen. I tell our leadership all the time, I want to grow old together with y'all. I want us to be sitting out all white hair, just everybody. You understand what I'm saying? We sitting out, we coming in there, you know what I'm saying? But we done lived a full life. We've served God, amen, with our youth and even in our old age, amen. So while I'm not putting legalism on you, I do want to suggest to you the wisdom of the Most High God. I believe a lot of the things that we're struggling with our health, all that medicine you're on, all the pharmaceutical, all the pharmacia you're on, if we would just put the fork down. You know what I'm saying? Just step away from the plate. Just step away, sir. Put the fork down. Step away from the plate. Because you know why? You know why? We eating ourselves to death. And I never say you know. I say we. How many people can take better care of their bodies in here? How many people can eat better in here? All right? All right? Your pastor is asking you, try with me. Let's see what happens. Try with me. Try with me. Try with me. If I see you with that sack of crawfish, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to judge you. But what I am saying is, try with me. Is that cool? Is that all right? Because you just never know what's going to happen. You just never know what's going to happen. If we make progress, amen, before you know it, we'll be like Daniel. All for the king's delicacies. All for the Babylonian food. I wonder if the brainwashing of us as a people, amen, included the plan of changing our diet. I wonder. I wonder how strong and how fast and how, hallelujah, intelligent we are with junk in us. I wonder. I wonder if we would change our diet, how much even more so we could be used to glorify God. Amen. Amen. Let's be a light to the nations. Let's be a city on a hill. Let's go from the people who took the least care of themselves, the people who died the most, the people who weighed down the medical system and the government the most, and change it in a generation to where they all begin to come in and say, how did y'all do that? How did you stop cancer? How did you stop diabetes? How did you change the blood pressure? What in the world y'all doing? We're going to tell them about Christ. We're going to tell them about the Word of God. And we're going to point back to our Savior. Listen, in no way, shape, or fashion, B is trying to take us back to being saved by the old covenant. That's why at the end he preached the gospel. You understand what I'm saying? That's why at the end he say, this is the most important thing. Understand what he's saying. But just like we glean the wisdom of God from Proverbs, he's saying, why don't you go Leviticus and glean some wisdom there. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. I warned y'all this was going to be convicting. That's why I don't let him preach too much now. I don't. Well, come around, you're convicting me all. I'm just joking. I'm just playing. Whenever the Lord wants this man to put us in check, that's when he gonna be up here. Because, yeah. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray. Repeat after me. Say, Father God, I admit that I'm a sinner. We've fallen so far from your ways. And we are sorry. We thank you for Jesus. Because if you had to judge us by your law, we'd all be in hell. Because we've sinned against you. But I thank you for Yahshua, the Messiah, the Savior, the chain breaker, who took every law that was against me and nailed it to his cross. Thank you, Lord, because my diet would have sent me to hell. But I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all my sins. I believe he was buried. And on the third day, he rose with all power and all might. Lord, save me, a sinner. And teach me your ways. Teach me the wisdom of your word. And help me, God, to walk it out. To have an abundant life, a healthy life, a blessed life, and eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some glory, somebody. Give God some glory. Hallelujah. We on a program here, saints. We on a program here. Come on, stand with me. Every time we come, we're going to be challenging this house. While we was challenged tonight, there's something that's going to go home and look in their pot and say, oh, Lord. Eli, lama sabatana. May the Lord bless you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And may he bless you with peace. Peace, which means shalom, which means prosperity, but also good health. I pray it on you. I'm going to continue to pray good health on you. But I also pray good, healthy eating habits on you as well. That you may maintain the prayer of good health on you. That I'd pray health on you, but you wouldn't go home and eat sickness on you. I pray you bless your people, King. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed.